Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Crack Brain Podcast. Before we get started into this week's episode, a couple of quick things to be able to go and hit. Just wanted to make sure everyone was reminded of Salt Lake Gaming Con. That's this weekend, July 6th and 7th, at the Mountain America Expo Center out over in Sandy, so Friday and Saturday. And one of the things I definitely wanted to make sure that people knew about is, all of us over at Crack Brain are going to be attending the con, but over on Friday in particular, I myself will be moderating a panel in room 2. It's Get Fit and Cosplay: Games That Make You Get Off the Couch. That should be starting right around 4 to 5 p.m. I know I'm going to be having on Kiki Furia, Sharon Hansen, and then possibly another person. So still trying to go and figure that out. But, you know, I really look forward to that. It's going to be a really, really great time. Even outside of that, I know we're all planning on doing some really, really fun stuff. Definitely going to be still doing a cosplay spotlight as well as a couple of interviews and things like that. So I encourage everyone, come on out, have some fun. And yeah, like I said, let's definitely make this one a really, really fun time. I won't be cosplaying in this one, but you know, I am very close to finishing a few other cosplays. So I'd love to be able to see everyone out this weekend, July 6th and 7th at the Mountain America Expo Center out over in Sandy for Salt Lake Gaming Con. Speaking of gaming, I really want to go and make sure you guys are aware of some things. So from time to time, I try to go and let you guys know about cool things that I found, just sort of, you know, doing my normal thing. And there's one business out over there I want everyone to know about, especially if you're a gamer. So while I was actually over on a Twitch stream with the cosplayer Canary Cry Cosplay, which I encourage everyone to go and check her out over on Twitch, I actually was able to meet another individual in there, and we started getting talking, and you know, and one thing led to another, and he actually showed me a lot of the work he does. And what he does is he takes computers. So if you're, you know, if you want to go and start building up a gaming PC or a streaming PC or just, you know, just a really nice PC, he'll actually go and build it for you. And he does it super cheap. So when everyone's always thinking, you know, oh, it's going to take me, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 to go and start it, he's got full computers, real gaming computers, for as low as $700. So it's a really, really great deal. But what makes it even more special is he actually customizes the entire tower. So, you know, if you go over onto his website, you'll be able to see different works he's done. He's actually made some in the theme of Frozone, Okami, so the game, different things like Pickle Rick or dinosaurs. Just, he's done amazing job with painting them and then redoing some vinyl work, you know, the full interior. And he kind of does it all off of a pop vinyl that he also tries to include too. So really, really cool, awesome things. I want everyone to go and check him out. You can find the Instagram is at Moser's Custom Computers. That's Moser's Custom Computers. And then for his website, you go to moserscomputers.net. I'm going to be including a link in the description, so I really want everyone to go and check that out, especially if you're going to be building a computer or you're thinking about streaming. Him and I were talking, and we're actually going to be collaborating on building my PC, so I'm really, really excited for it. He's already been able to tell me some really cool things to go and do that. So yeah, I want everyone to go and check it out. Again, moserscomputers.net or on Instagram, Moser's Custom Computers. So, well, that's pretty good on there. Only other thing is that by the end of this week, so probably on Friday or Saturday, we will be trying to launch the Cracked Brain Patreon. We've finished getting all of the content going, so I've created one episode for Inside My Head. We've already got the first episode of Do You Even Nerd Bra done with me and Jasmine Elliott or Adam Bombbody. So we're really excited about that. Got a few other things that we're planning on doing as well inside this month. So definitely kind of stay tuned for that. We've got things as cheap as $1 and things that go all the way up to, I believe our max right now is $15. So if you guys are interested in that, definitely stay tuned, and you know, we'll definitely have that up for you hopefully by the end of the week. Now, getting into this week's episode, so we have ourselves a return guest, and this time, you know, coming on by himself. You might remember him from the early days. Back then, he went by Boyfriend Mike. Now he's just Mike, or what he's now going by is Tacitus Nerddom, and it's really cool, not only, you know, kind of meeting up with someone and reconnecting, but when they weren't necessarily as involved in geek community before, you know, and then all of a sudden start grabbing hold of it. So that's exactly what Mike has been doing over the last couple of months. He's been getting more into cosplay. He's been an avid gamer, you know, for the longest time, but, you know, he's really taken it to the next level, and then also seeing him get more into woodworking. So, you know, this was really excited to go and do. It is a little bit of a shorter episode. We were kind of planning on doing a second episode within the weeks, but my schedule got way too crazy, so we weren't able to go and do that, but we will be doing it in the future. So I hope you guys enjoy this really fun episode with Tacitus Nerddom. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Crack Brain Podcast. We are going to be having some fun today because we're having a it's like a return guest, but at the same time, like, kind of like half round robin and so.
Right.
It's like I'm really excited to go and do this one because, let's see, we started talking about doing this episode 2 weeks ago over at the Geek Show.
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess it's I guess you kind of say.
Yeah, it's been about 3-4 weeks that it's been in the works. Yeah.
One of the last times we're playing Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, we were playing Sea of Thieves together, and I'm like, hey, could come on, let's do a podcast.
Right, which I still need to, like, I really need to go and get back in that game, but at the same time, like, okay, I want to do another one, like we were talking about, like, where I'll bring over my TV and bring over my Xbox, and then we'll just do an episode while playing Sea of Thieves.
I'm game for it.
Right.
But gotta finish the intro.
Yes!
Someone, not even through the intro of who I am.
Someone that knows me well. All right. So, yes, if it's definitely been a while since you've heard this particular voice, but
episode 3.
A long while. But I am sitting down with the artist formerly known as Boyfriend Mike, who's now just Mike.
Right, just Mike.
Right, it's like time has gone over. Things have transpired. We're just Mike now.
So. Or my handle name is Tacitus Nerddom.
Right. See, and you know, we were kind of talking about it briefly, you know, a little bit ago before I hit the record button. But you know, towards the end of the last episode that you were on, you know, we started talking about, you know, how much of a history buff that you were and whatnot. Right. So hearing that you're now going by a handle, Tacitus, literally just got me all giggly. I'm like, oh my god. You
know? So Tacitus is a Roman author. He wrote quite a few books. Some of them are still in existence, called the Annals and the Histories. He covers the area from the death of Augustus through Nero.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. Now, I do want to ask, because, you know, like, there are some times when I'll go and I'll ask people, like, oh, what inspired you, you know, to go and use this particular handle or name or whatnot? But when it comes to Tacitus, like, was it just something where you love the Roman time period that made you want to go after, or was it just like, I kind of have more to it?
No, I really enjoy the Roman time period. I've read many books on it. I mean, even looking at my place, I've got a Augustus thing. I've got a Roman bust, a full-size Roman bust on my bookcase. And And I've, gosh, the last 10 years, just on my own, I studied Roman history very deeply.
Right. Well, see, and like that's kind of the cool part, because now, I mean, you'll always find a few people that are, you know, that like, I'll say that like history, you know, and usually it's, especially where we live, not necessarily Utah in general, but just being in the U.S., most of the time it's more about U.S. history.
Yeah.
You know, so anytime you run across someone that is more fascinated with, you know, history overall, but then something outside of U.S. history, it's just, to me, it's super special. It's super special.
I guess part of it with the Roman is that our society is largely based off of their establishment, and our government is more set up the Roman way than the Greek way.
Yep. Well, like, because even I definitely don't want to portray the, like, oh, you know, I know it all and whatnot. I'll say that I'm more acquainted with things, primarily just because, you know, there is a podcast that, you know, that I listen to that hasn't really been updated in a long time, but, you know, Hardcore History. And that's, you know, that they have talked about more Caesar than anything. And that was kind of most of my introduction there. But to kind of briefly, or maybe just explain a little bit, like, what is the difference between more of the Greek line of government as opposed to the Roman line of government?
Okay. Well, the Greek line, as you probably learned in your history classes in school, established the democracy. But their democracy was a direct democracy. I'm not sure if that's the right term, but it's a direct democracy of where those eligible to vote had a direct say in it. Whereas, like our government is set up as a republic, of where you have representatives represent your area.
Mm-hmm.
And then they vote for you in, like, the Senate, which a Roman had a Senate. And then you also had, the Romans also had what was known as a tribune, which was the voice of the people. So that they had veto power against the Senate or the consul.
Okay. Okay, so, and, you know, like you were saying, you can see the similarities between, you know, what we have currently and then what they had then, you know.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't necessarily want to go and I'll save the really deep diving into that, you know, for another episode, because that definitely is a fascinating, it is a fascinating juxtaposition, you know, between, like, okay, well, how quote-unquote far we've come, but at the same time it's still not all that far. We're dealing with some of the same issues that, you know, that kind of, like, well, they were dealing with this then, it's like, because we're trying to mimic in, you know, in loose ways that sort of form of government, we're dealing with some of those same issues.
Yes,
you know, and if history serves true, it didn't work out that well.
Well, I'm not sure who quoted the line, but I really like it. But it says, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That it, there are going to be things that are going to pick up and you're going to see the same. It's not going to be a direct one-for-one repeat of the same events. But yeah, there are similarities.
Yep. Yep.
Of what goes on. And a lot of my focus has actually been from a little bit before Caesar, so about 180 through Augustus has been a large part of my focus, which a lot of people do focus in on that. It's kind of crazy that there's more writing in that time period than, say, in like 200 AD, which is like 200 years later. There's more writings that we have from that time period than from 200 AD.
Doggone.
Because, but it's also because of how much they wrote in that time period. And then because of how events went, that in 200, 300, it's Roman history is chaos.
Yeah.
It's the best way to put it.
Right. Well, it's like that and, you know, kind of off the brief, you know, some, like, the brief bit of research I have been able to do, you know, as far as when researching some of the characters, you know, like Augustus and like some of the different figures that came out, that came out right after, you know, him as well, how much controversy there is between, oh, well, you know, like, Tacitus wrote this, but then he might not be right because there was another author that was conflicting what he was saying. Then there's
Suetonius writing his account.
And you're sitting there going, can someone just tell me what happened? Like, if the dude walked across the street, let me know that he walked across the street. Not, oh, well, he walked across the – it's like he transpired across the square. Right. Cool. What did he walk? Did he run? Some say that he walked. Others say that he floated.
Well, but I guess that's where I have a little leniency on studying that, because I look at it, if you look at it in our period, say people are writing about an event in our life, but you've only got 5 sources in the world to base it off of.
That's true. That's
true. And they may not even be first-hand accounts. It may even be second, maybe even third, maybe even fifth-hand account.
And keeps on going down the line.
Yeah, keeps on going down the line. Well, like with Tacitus. Tacitus is 100 years removed from Augustus.
Okay. It's like writing about... basically that would almost be tantamount of me trying to write about my great-great-grandfather I definitely recognize that Tacitus isn't in relation with Augustus, but it's still just you know, the similarity between, like, oh, I'm going to write about this person that I never got the chance to talk to, you know,
and you can only go off of the few records that you can find
exactly
on it.
You know, so that's why I find not only that era so fascinating, but also the writings that go on of, you know, authors like Tacitus, that when they're trying to relate some of these momentous stories that we base a lot of history off of, and you're sitting there going, oh my God, you know, how did you know, like, what's going on? You know, I kind of attribute it a little bit to paleontology, trying to go back of, like, okay, not only are you sitting here trying to, you know, you're exhuming this sort of this historical piece, but now you're trying to figure out what might have been going on at that same time, because let's say this, you know, this ancient bird fell in this certain way, and you're trying to, like, okay, well, because remap
their whole thing,
and you
create a story around that one end event of how the bird
ended up. You know, and you're taking corroborating data. It's like, well, this same thing that was going on right around the same time suggests this, and we're trying to meld these two together. I find it so remarkable, you know, that they were doing that then. And how we have, like, okay, you know, we have superior technology and all these things to be able to look back at, and yet we're still just as conflicted. So
in some ways, I think it's too much media is creating that. It's too much noise to find what is the base.
Right. So, yeah, I'm sorry that we kind of, like, went specifically, we had this tangent off of, how'd you choose Tacitus, you know,
but it's all good.
Like I said, I just,
you can get me talking about a lot of different subjects and I'll sit there and be like, huh, okay. And then you hit these like gold mines as far as like, oh my God. Okay.
Well, you knew going in I was the history nerd, so.
I did. Right. So, you know, like I said, I don't want to, this is probably interesting to some people and I don't want to bore the lights out of other people. So, you know, we will go to lighter hearted things. Whereas, you know, like I said, we were able to kind of reconnect largely over Sea of Thieves, which, God, I love that game.
It is. It is a great game. It's actually playing it right before you shut up with the crew I introduced you to.
Oh my God. See, and that's like, okay, I will completely admit I've played a little bit since then. So like every skill that I have, I think my gold hoarder is only at 24.
I'm about the same.
Oh, it's, you know, and how many updates has been going on with the game where it's like I'm checking Twitter as far as I can almost guarantee, oh, it's Saturday. The post as far as server maintenance, so the game is down.
Right.
You know, but seeing where they've come off of, like, dude, how freaking beautiful is the water now?
Right. It's amazing.
Oh, that is probably some of the most fun that I have as far as, like, I'll log on, play for maybe only, like, 15 minutes. I don't even do a mission anymore. I just seriously sail. I might stop by an island, see if I can find anything. But I just sail now.
Oh. It is fun. And then, but that game is really fun with a crew.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a crew together, and it's a lot of fun. And speaking with like the gaming world is, especially the online, the last 8 years for me has been a huge part of making friends and all that. It actually started for playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood online, that they had their online thing, and I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan. I've got the hot figures and stuff, but yeah, I'm a huge, huge Assassin's Creed fan. If nobody picked up on the history,
it's great when it's like your geekdom and then your interests definitely kind of coalesce into something like that rad. So.
And then they added the online features, which unfortunately didn't have a big draw, but did that. And I have friends from back in that Brotherhood day that I still talk with. I still hang it online, and some of them live on the other side of the world.
Right.
And we still communicate and give a shout out to Rose. I'll make sure she knows to listen to this podcast. But she's definitely a lifelong friend and has been there through thick and thin both of us have been for each other through a lot, but I made friends with her playing Assassin's Creed online and got a lifelong friend.
See, and like that's some of the power that comes with gaming that I know a lot more people in our generation understand, but the older generation sometimes doesn't find a way to see that when I've heard too many comments as far as, well, you're secluded, you're off inside your room, you're not, you know, you're not interacting with people. And then you sit there and go and you have experiences like yours where it's like, no, I actually am experienced. Like
it helped me through a dark place in my life, having somewhere to go when I'm cooped up with an injury at home and I can't go anywhere. And then I'm got to make friends online. And it helps. I mean, like I was saying with Rose, she's a lifelong friend. I mean, she's.
Right. Yeah. See, and that's where, like I said, it's like it's something where, you know, being able to find these friendships where it's all, you know, to me, it kind of feels like, you know, it almost feels like pen pal lottery as far as like, you never know, especially with some of these games and matchmaking, or all of a sudden, you know, you get thrown in.
Speaking with Rose, we were in a clan together. That's actually how we met, was playing Assassin's Creed Online, that we are in one of the top 10 clans in Assassin's Creed. Yeah, I was way into it. But the politics and stuff just got too much with it, and then both of us left, but kept our friendship. But almost everyone else in that group, don't talk to anymore. Most of them I've blocked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's
But you're right that it is kind of pen pal lottery of what you're going to.
It's like what you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, it makes, you know, avenues like that so beautiful, because when you deal with people that have social anxiety or something else, that sometimes the past traditional way of meeting new people, you know, as far as going out and you're just going to meet new people, sometimes that is so daunting to people, where it's just like, no, I'm already comfortable. I'm already at home. I'm playing a game that I enjoy. I happen to just log on, and yeah, you're going to deal with the cavalcade of, you know, young people and adults that are toxic in the gaming community. But you find these like diamonds in the rough that are just like,
right,
oh my god, I love it, I freaking love you, man. Right. You know, and just that's what it is. So I get giddy when I hear stories like that, man.
Well, it's even like some of those that we played with on Sea of Thieves together. Mm-hmm. that crew is really fun just to relax and chill and have a good time with. Sorry about my phone. And if that went through, yes, that is the hidden blade from Assassin's Creed.
I was just sitting there going like, yup, proof.
Right.
There you go. See? But yeah, I mean, you know, like the brief little bit that I had playing with that crew, I can't remember their name, but the woman that was the captain while we were playing.
Diesel.
Yeah, and you know how she was just sort of like, okay, you know, the first little bit that I joined in that group, when she saw like, okay, what are your levels, and mine were like 16 and 18, and you could hear the okay, all right, here we go. But then all right, like,
we'll put up with you,
you're
his friend, so
right. But then I just sat there and went, okay, I'm gonna be as humble as I can. So when she would say like, okay, I need someone over on, you know, I need someone on the anchor, got it, you know, and then like half the time when I'm sitting there just over by the sails, I'm just like trying to go and move, I'm just like, okay, can someone, I'm already on the sails, okay all right, you know, my goal is just like, pull your weight, you know, and just, it's weird having this sort of responsibility to someone that I don't know. We're playing a game that in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter. You know, but to me, it means the world, as far as just like, I just want them to think well of me. That's it. I just want them to think well, you know, and it's not even that we've played again, but I'm just like, oh, I hope I make a friend, you know?
Right.
So, oh, God, it means so much.
And it is so weird that you're trying to make that friend online. Like you said, you haven't met them. You have no clue what they look like or anything about them.
Right. It's just, like I said, I value it so much. And, you know, kind of when it bleeds into, you know, the cosplay world, as far as you kind of get that somewhat that similar thing sometimes, right, where when someone's in a cosplay, sometimes you have no idea. It's like, yeah, you have no idea who they are. You don't know anything about them, but all of a sudden you realize, like, I know that character. And you start interacting with them, and it's like you form this bond, and it's just like, oh my God.
Well, that's a huge thing in the nerddom. I mean, look at your shirt with the Spartan.
Right?
I mean, people are going to know that. Or people look at mine.
See?
I've
Mordor.
Got a, well, it's Mordor Fun Run. And then it says below, one does not simply walk.
I freaking love it.
I mean, but you're right that people gravitate to that nerddom, and that's huge thing that I've liked kind of like what was mentioned in the previous podcast I was in, that I was new to the nerd culture. Now, yeah. I've had a couple years in the nerd culture, and yeah, it's really fascinating to see that kind of bond. Even with the nerd shirts that I wear now, I have people all the time. Even yesterday, I wore that Skyrim shirt that I wore to the Geek Show anniversary. That the shirt says "Keep calm and take the arrow out of your knee." I was wearing that at work yesterday, and a guy probably in his 60s starts laughing, and he's like, "I love that shirt."
See.
Like, see, somebody in their 60s knows Skyrim, and I'm like, oh, that's so great.
Right? Well, like, and especially if, like, let's say he had taken 2 minutes to sit there and go, you know what? This mission, did you have a hell of a time? Or when you sit there, like, Thieves right. Guild, did you do it?
Or the Dark Brotherhood. Right?
I've never done the Dark Brotherhood. I kill them all every single time. There are certain things I just don't do.
You have
do.
A line you don't cross.
I don't do it.
Yeah, I've played through Skyrim 3 times, and then actually a 4th time with mods, since they've come out with the mods, which has been a lot of fun. I put all the, probably hundreds of hours into Skyrim.
Yep. I just barely broke the 100-hour mark, and I did that all over on, did it over on the 360 for the most part, got my Xbox One, kind of, you know, dipped back into it as far as my father-in-law, my stepfather-in-law had, you know, another version so I could go and mm-hmm. sit there and play it again. But I've seriously been thinking about going and getting, you know, the new enhanced version.
Oh, some of the mods are amazing that you can do in it. Oh, it's so great that yeah, they have a mod that combines nerddom that they added. You're in the Skyrim UI, but you're playing Mario.
No.
So you gotta jump through Mario worlds with your Skyrim character. Is one of the mods out there.
You're breaking me right now. I don't need to spend more money, but now I want to spend more money.
Well, luckily the mods are free just for the game.
But I don't have the game anymore, so I gotta go buy the game.
Or me being a metalhead as well, that they have a mod that gives you metal shouts.
What?
That you get shouts, and it shouts out a short tune of a metal song.
I'm not joking. If I can get, if I could get, like, Atreyu, or if I could get, you know, Metallica, or...
They do have some Metallica, and Monomarth, and a bunch of other bands, yes, are some of those that they have in the metal shout.
I don't need a Fus Roda, but if I could get it, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire as my shout, I will lose my mind.
Well, if you want to lose your mind on a shout, one of my favorite ones is the Shia LaBeouf, Just Do It.
No.
Yes. So it has him yelling, just do it.
Just do it.
Yes. Yep, that's one of my favorite shouts to use.
That I wouldn't come back to Civilization. I would not come back to Civilization.
When I first got it, I don't think I did for a couple of days. I think I went to work, went home. That's all I did.
Oh my god. Tiff, I promise you that I won't do this, but if this does happen and our marriage dissolves into me being a skeleton on the couch,
he's going to blame Mike.
Just know I love you. Right. Oh, my God. Well,
and that's not even going into the armor mods. That you can get your nerddom armor mods as well.
Nope. You give me Metroid armor in... Nope, I'm not even going to think about it, because seriously, I
know there is a Dragon Ball arm.
No!
I just had to throw that out there.
See, okay, now people, if you're not aware, Dragon Ball is one of my absolute favorite fandoms of all time. Even like last night, Candace and Tyler and I, we got together. We had this, I'm calling it sulfuric dragon ramen, because it's the spiciest thing I've ever had in my life. And I tried to recount events from Dragon Ball to the end of Dragon Ball Super while eating this. I couldn't do it. I'm still paying, like, I don't get fire tummy, what I call, you know, so like when I eat spicy things, I don't have to deal with like, oh yeah, I was over on the toilet and, you know, I had dragon ass. I've been dealing with dragon ass since last night, and I'm blaming Dragon Ball at the same time. So now hearing that there's Dragon Ball in Skyrim form, it's putting two things that are basically like a cocaine habit for me. I can't do this, Mike. I can't do this.
Well, they threw in a whole, for the Empire, they threw in a mod that threw me for a loop that turned them all into Roman armor.
No.
So I had my feel as well.
Look, okay, you've got a nicely trim beard going on now, but all I can imagine is all of a sudden like knocking on your door right when you're playing that, like 3 weeks after, and your beard is just hit this like
right.
It's hit this dwarven just like I haven't left.
Right.
I've been feeding myself on toenails and the crumbs that I find in between the couch.
Luckily, I haven't got to that point yet.
Luckily. Right?
Gotten close, but not to that point. But I'm definitely working on getting away from staying in that point.
Right. Well, you know, this episode is going to be relatively short comparatively to other ones. Like, hopefully we can kind of, like, pick it back up, you know, a little bit later. I just have crap going on. But I do want to know, because, you know, when we were over at the Geek Show anniversary night, you had told me like, okay, I'm kind of dipping my feet more into cosplay, and I want to go and do things.
Thinking of making my first cosplay.
I am so happy for it, because, you know, I knew that you were kind of helping out before and trying to offer the assistance that you could. But then when you said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, like,
hey, I need some help. I want to make.
Yup. You know, it's like, first of all, picking Floki. I
might need to explain who Floki is.
Okay. So if the name Floki doesn't ring any bells for you all, it's a character from I will say the hit show Vikings. And if you if you haven't watched Vikings, I'm telling you all right now, it was on the History Channel. It's over now.
The show's not completely over. They're still
what?
Yeah, they're releasing the second half of season 5 sometime. They haven't released the date, but yeah, they did season 5, and the first, I think, 4 or 5 seasons are on Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah.
So anybody got Amazon Prime can watch it, the first few seasons of it, and it's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. It's some of the best writing, of a fictional show that it's based off a non-fictional time and a non-fictional setting, but for the most part, you know, the events themselves, you know, and there was a Ragnar Lothbrok, you know, but
embellished with legend.
Yeah, it's like they just embellish it, and you know, they definitely take their creative licenses, but it is so well done. And you know, we won't go into spoiler territory because I really do want people to watch it.
Yes, I would full-heartedly agree. I mean, I've got a Vikings poster with an axe hanging on my wall.
It is, like I said, it's like the show itself is so fantastic, but the character of Floki, he is this, oh my god, by trade, he's a boat maker, but I say he is he's not supposed to be, a depiction of the god Loki.
Yes.
But he is the most, like, if they were going to make a humanized version of him, I sit there and go,
he does have those, yeah, he's mystical, and he's also very mischievous.
So mischievous, and when you look at the relationship between him and Ragnar,
right,
it's more of what we would consider the relationship between Thor and Loki than, let's say, Ragnar and his real brother.
Right.
Where that kind of goes off, and it really does this normal, head-to-head.
Which Ragnar's brother, Rollo, mm-hmm. is, we actually have more about his journey, but I'm not going to go into it to spoil from the show, but a lot of what Rollo goes through is based on actual history,
and it is like I said,
and one of his ancestors was William the Conqueror.
See, I freaking knew it. You know, but it just, like, I can't sell this show enough because there's so many things that just are. You really understand Viking culture,
right?
A little bit better,
Best depiction I've ever seen on a Viking culture, or even a lot of ancient or older cultures. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best depictions of doing a very distant period piece,
right? You know, and when you put, I say Vikings, especially those first four seasons. Now, the fifth season is, in my opinion, it was like, man, I understand that there was a lot going on and they kind of had to start rolling things down. So a lot of things happened super quickly and in a way that I'm like, oh, man, that's gone. That, you know, there's that. But those first four seasons, I will put them toe-to-toe with any show that's going on. I will put Vikings on par with Game of Thrones because, you know, yes, Game of Thrones has this really just, it's this awesome fantasy that, you know, you get magic. Yeah, it's like you get magic and you get some of these things and you get this really involved storyline, but Vikings, it's grounded in reality. And until mysticism.
with the lore and mysticism, and this is actually a thing I really like about the show because they do add in the religion and culture. I mm-hmm. mean, one of the episodes in the first season is them going to the temple and about their sacrifice and things like that, and it's very gritty on depicting Viking ritual, which for me, another passion of mine is studying religions and cultures along with the history. I like to learn what made them tick, what made people the way they are. I mean, and a lot of time religion and the culture plays a huge part, which a lot of shows, especially doing those pieces, don't really go down that dark road of here's depictions of the culture.
Yeah. You know, and especially ones that are so gritty. Like I don't want to necessarily spoil something, but it is, you know, it is something where it's a historical fact, but you know, the punishment that they had as far as flaying people, you know, so making the blood eagle.
Yes.
I mean, it caused me, as soon as my wife and I saw that, we went, okay, hold up. And we started researching. And
then you find out, you're like, wait, this is real.
This is real. And you're just going like, oh my, and how much care that they took to do this, you know,
right?
It's not as simple as just like, we're savages and da da da. It's like, no, this was something where it's like, no.
And the person getting it to get into Valhalla is not to scream once through it.
It's so, like, it is so enthralling that you just sit there and go like, oh my God. Like, in no way would I want to live during this period. Right. But there are so many things where I sit there and go like, I want to know more.
Interesting history fact. The only account of a Viking funeral comes from Ibn Khaled. He was an Arab emissary going amongst the Vikings in around 900. And his writings give us the account of a Viking funeral. And throwing the nerddom for everyone, Michael Crichton wrote a book based off of Ibn Khaled's account and
The 13th Warrior.
turned into the 13th Warrior, but the book is called Eaters of the Dead.
I need to read that book.
It's amazing, but yeah, the Eaters of the Dead turned into the movie The 13th Warrior all goes back to Ibn Khaled's writing, of which Crichton based the account on. He embellished course and turned it into a fantasy story, but Ibn Khaled was an Arab emissary going amongst the Vikings around 900.
Oh my God, I just
and that's our account of a Viking funeral. It's one of the only, if only, account of a firsthand of a Viking funeral.
See, the people, this is why studying history is so much fun.
It ties into the nerddom, like he pointed out the 13th Warrior.
It really does. Like, I'm not going to talk about that movie because that's going to send me on a literary bit, because that's supposed to be a lot more based off of Beowulf, you know, and just,
it is part Beowulf and Eaters of the Dead, but yeah.
Oh my God, I just, it's so freaking awesome. But yeah, like, kind of going all the way back, like I said, when you had told me that you were doing Floki, and I'm sitting there going, oh my God, that is absolutely perfect, you know, and then knowing that we had Moody right there,
right,
it was like, and that's why I was like, Moody, come here. You know, oh, it just, like I said, it's like, it just makes me so happy that hearing, like, okay, you know, you want to dip your toes into the cosplay world, but rather than going off on, you know, on a, like, a comic book character, which, if you had told me, oh, I want to do a comic book character, I would have been like, cool, awesome, that's great. But when it's like, you took one of my favorite shows and one of my favorite, like, interests and mashed them together, and I was like, oh yeah, I found the commonality and I want to do this. I lost it.
Yes, he did. He was very ecstatic about... about finding out. I'm like, yeah, I want my first cosplay, and Floki is who I want to do.
It just, like I said, that is something where, you know, like I said, it's like I cannot wait to be able to kind of like start to, you know, to see you start it, but then also to kind of like, okay, you might want to try this, and okay, maybe try, and all that. So
gonna need a lot of help. I mean, Like you said earlier, I've helped friends make some in the past, but yeah, I've never really done much on my own, because a lot of those know in the cosplay world, it's, no, I need to do it myself. And so that's No, let me do it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here to help. But I have learned a lot from watching as well, that I've picked up certain stuff. And I also just, from my background of doing woodwork, I know a bit of tricks and things that I know I could apply in doing the cosplay and other things with it, just from my woodwork background.
Nice. So we're kind of wrapping up, which, like, we're going to have to do a second one, you know, but I do have to go and hit you up, because kind of going along a different Vikings theme, I am now reinvigorated to start working again over on my Toothless cosplay. And there are some wood elements that I'm going to need help with.
Okay.
So nice. I will definitely be hitting you up again as far as, like, hey, yeah, I'm going to need some help with this.
I'm all for it.
Right. So yeah, just in case we're, you know, for some reason we're not able to go and link back up by the time this episode comes back out, you know, how can people find you? How, you know, we told them Tacitus, but I already can feel people going, I don't know how to spell that.
Okay. It's Tacitus and then nerddom.
There we go. And one word?
Yep. All one word.
All right.
On Instagram, Twitter, and TacitusNerdum@gmail.com.
See, I'm telling you all this right now. I want you to please blow up Mike's Instagram, his Twitter, and I want to hear that as soon as this episode comes out, that he's now slogging through the amount of emails I get after every time I do one of these like large issue episodes, all right? Because I'm telling you guys right now, like, you couldn't ask for a person to kind of help get you more started in the historical arena. I'm telling you, this it's a lot more fun than you all think. Just
right.
Get involved.
And even reading some of those books, there's a lot of funny story, hidden gems in it. There's a lot of hidden things that you're like shaking your head and you're like, yep, they're just like us.
Right. Oh my God. See, and I'm still like, I said it before the other episode, I'm gonna say it right now. I'm still going to make you at some point do a historical podcast. I want this to happen.
Well, we'll have to hit up and you help me set it up, because I've talked with you on ideas on what I want to do.
There you guys see, and it's not that I'm also not producing other podcasts too, so it's not like you wouldn't have your own platform.
Right.
There we go. So, like I said, it just in case, if for some unforeseen circumstance we were not able to go and link back up, and this is the only version of the episode, make sure you go and follow Tacitus Nerddom. For the love of Krom.
Krom.
For the love of Loki, Odin, Thor.
And Freya.
And Freya. And all of the other Aesir and Vanir.
And Frey and Tyr. And Heimdall.
Yes! We just keep on going down
this. Right.
Let us not forget Baldur. Right. Baldur, you beautiful man that is taken out by mistletoe.
Right.
I'm having too much fun doing this.
Oh, it's all good.
Right. So, like I said, make sure you go and follow him. We're doing this again. We're doing this again.
For sure.
Very soon. And so hopefully not until next time. But yes, until next time, people, we will talk to you later.
Thank you.